Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. This week, we are taking a little journey with Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps by Gary Zimek, and it's offered from Servant Books Franciscan Media. I totally give up on his last name. I just listened to it like 10 times again. Why is this so hard? Zimek. It's not hard. It's Zimek. Anyway, I'm sure people look at Gingras and think, oh, how do I say this? It's so hard. I've gotten Gingrich and Gingras. And so like Gringrass, yeah, it's gin. If you drink too much gin, you end up on the grass. Gingras. It's simple. I wish everybody had simple ways to teach me their names like that. But we're looking at Gary's book this week. I'm a big fan of Gary Zimek, even though I can't say his name. And I'm also a big fan of Servant Books Franciscan Media. They are being incredibly generous this week. And thanks to Jennifer Longworth, I finally got the mega giveaway from them up and ready for you to enter. You can go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page, click on giveaway, or you can go to reconciledtoyou.com, click on radio show. The giveaway is right there on that opening page. We have three amazing prizes to give away, and it's going to run this week and next because it's that incredible. I want to give a lot of people extra time to get to enter this giveaway. It is a copy of Pope Francis Takes the Bus, or two of Gary Zimek's books that he has offers through Servant Books. This one, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, and another one whose name is escaping me, Faith, Hope, and Clarity. I love that name of that book. Faith, Hope, and Clarity. You would have thought I would have remembered it if I love it so much, but I do. I think that's so clever. So you can win either Pope Francis Takes the Bus or the two-pack Gary Zimek book package or all five of the Chime, C-H-I-M-E, Chime Travelers children's books by our friend Lisa Hendy, CatholicMom.com founder and all-around awesome woman. They are so good. If you have not checked these out yet for your children, either for your classroom, for your CCD office, or your religious education library, for your to offer, if you're doing a penny sale or any kind of offering, you know, if you're looking for something to give to the church, Chime Travelers series, Servant Books, Lisa Hendy, they are so phenomenal. The illustrations are incredible. Therefore, probably I think they would work for anybody. You could read them to your child at any age. And then for self-readers, new readers up until third or fourth grade, I as an adult was very interested in these books. I learned something new. I was captivated by the characters. I love time travel. I thought it was a very cute, what is I'm looking for? I don't even know. It was a very interesting way that she's put them together. Very cute. What is that? Oh, goodness gracious. It's just too early in the show to have no words. It was a theme. It was just a great theme. We introduced, in each book, we're introduced to a new saint. We encounter them through these two characters, Katie and Patrick. Just great stuff. I know. I'm sorry. She came on the show and she talked all about them. Let me just put the link to that in the show notes and you can hear more about the Chime Travelers series, Lisa Hendy. And if you'd like to win a copy of all five, you get the whole series, go to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page or reconciledtoyou.com and click on radio show. This is kind of hard for me to switch gears and talk about those books when I'm so entrenched right now and Find a Real Friend in Jesus. 10 amazingly in. No, it doesn't say in, Allison. I like to be an editor. Apparently, I want to edit everybody's titles and names. And, you know, it's just the world according to Allison. Just we'll mix it up. Speaking of being a real friend, if you'd like to become a friend of the show, you'll get extra entries into every giveaway. So if you really like these books and you want to have a chance at them, sign up today on breadboxmedia.com to become a friend of the show as a premium member. Get your choice of a squirrel or a bracelet, extra entries like I just said, and you get to hang out in a very exclusive club. You get to come to the monthly Google Hangout where we talk about anything and everything. You can ask questions. You can share your life with me, which I think would be super, uber exciting since I'm always sharing my life with you. I'd love to hear more about you. You can always send me messages at Allison@breadboxmedia.com as well if you want to tell me all about you or if you need any I'm sorry, there's something there's a shooting pain from I don't know, my shirt maybe. I need some fabric softener. Do they still use that? That was very painful. Just anyway, send me messages, ask me for prayers. If you need a book recommendation, Allison@breadboxmedia.com or seekinghard@breadboxmedia.com. So easy to find me. And I'm always here for you. I love answering your questions or reading your emails and seeing how you are. And I especially love praying for you. So we talked on Monday about the opening of this book and the 10 easy steps. I kind of recounted them. Now I'm going to go, and those 10 easy steps are: break down the walls, let the church guide you, talk to Jesus, listen, go for the grace, enjoy his real presence, let mom help, one of my favorite chapters, love your neighbor, seek and find, don't waste your suffering. And I'm going to break down a few of them today. And then on Friday, when Gary is here, we will unwrap the rest of them that I didn't get to. I love having Gary on the show. I was really blessed to have him earlier. If you were listening yesterday, you would have heard that encore presentation of my interview with Gary Zimek when I did Listen to Your Blessed Mother, his book out from La Glory Publications. And he will be here again on Friday. As I said, tomorrow's show will be an encore. And actually, it's going to be me talking about Listen to Your Mother when I covered that book last year. I have a funeral to go to. Please keep the McCauley family in your prayers. Most funerals are at 10 a.m. And when it's somebody close, I'm sure you would do the same thing. Take a day off from work and go and be with your loved ones, your friends, your family to support them in their time of need. So please keep the McCauleys and Uncle Mike in your prayers. I'm going to start with step two, let the church guide you. This chapter is really near and dear to my heart. It's very much part of my own reversion story, my coming back to the Catholic faith. I was in a group Bible study for almost 2 years, and it became very close to the women in that group, four of them in particular. And somewhere around the end of that second year, they kind of surprised me with an announcement that they were leaving the Catholic Church, that they had found more fulfillment in the evangelical church, the Protestant faith, and that they were leaving the Catholic Church. And I was really at this kind of a turning point, like this pinnacle point in my own faith journey. Do I go with these people that I love and follow them and continue to worship and grow in faith with them? Or do I remain in the Catholic Church? I didn't completely understand at that point that making that decision would end that friendship. But I knew something in my heart was telling me I needed to stay with the Catholic Church. So I decided to do research and go deeper to figure out what it was about the Catholic Church versus the evangelical church that kept me Catholic. There was many things I didn't understand, that I didn't always agree with, that I needed to have clarification on, and that I needed to have the Lord speak to my heart and really show me what it was that the Catholic Church had to offer that kept, you know, would keep me there. And that's what I did. I spent really a good 6 months deep in deep in prayer, going to I discovered adoration. I ended up switching churches, Catholic church, but into a different Catholic church. They had adoration. I started to go make these visits to Jesus in the Eucharist. These out in a monstrance, it's different times. They used to have it all day Saturday. My new church has it Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. We're in a chapel or in the church itself. Jesus in the Eucharist is put in a beautiful holder. They're all different sizes and shapes, that they are made of gold though. And you go and you just spend time in what we consider the real presence. We believe that in the Eucharist is Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And in sitting there in that, in his presence, in my prayer, in my reading the Catechism of the Catholic Church, the second most underutilized, undervalued book in the world, the first is the Bible, I started to really uncover why the Catholic Church. Why be here? Why stay? And what did it have to offer? When we come back from these messages, I'm going to look deeper into Gary Zimek's chapter on Let the Church Guide You, part of Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, Servant Books. We'll be right back. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras right here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Bet you're wondering where I was. Is she sleeping? She seems to be struggling this morning. Just a tiny bit. I don't know what happens sometimes to me. I think it's just, I don't know. I may have been up a little too late watching America's Got Talent. I have it on DVR. We did, what did we start last night? We actually didn't start. It's our second week of 33 Days to Morning Glory. That's it, which I'm going to talk a little bit more about when I get to Let Your Mother Help. I love that chapter. Here again, the book this week is Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, Gary Zimek, Servant Books, Franciscan Media. So I never watched America's Got Talent. I never watched American Idol. I don't know you think you can dance. Well, last year on the show was a friend of mine, her son. He was the 14-year-old dancer who was blind. Or going blind. And I had to see him dance. Like, that's incredible to know somebody that was on there and I wanted to support him. Well, I should know better. I should totally know better. The same thing happened with Dancing with the Stars. I never watched Dancing with the Stars or The Great American Race or what are those things? The Big Brother, all any of those shows. And then A Dancing with the Stars about 3 seasons ago, my aunt who's loves the show, my mother and my aunt both love the show. She sends me a message. She said, "Hey, there is a NASCAR guy on it. It's Michael Waltrip." She's like, "You know, you might want to check this out." Well, of course, I mean, Michael Waltrip's like 6'5" and he's the biggest goofball on the planet. Like, I totally had to see him try to dance. Yeah, guess who's addicted to that show, too? As you know, I just went to see Max and Val with that aunt of mine just July 6th for my birthday. So apparently I have a pretty addictive personality. I should be very careful the things that I start, huh? Just the, probably explains a lot about my finances and my weight. Luckily, I started Jesus and I'm addicted to him. So there's a good thing. So sometimes this addictive personality pays off. Anyway, we did 33 Days to Morning Glory. We did the group at our church yesterday. I didn't get home until about 9:15, 9:30-ish. The band, my son's band, was here practicing. Kind of hard to watch television when there's a five-piece band playing in the next room. They're starting to sound really good, though. I love supporting my son. I love creating a place for young people to come together and to seek, to pursue their dreams and to practice music. It's just wonderful to have them here. Though I'm thinking we may need to soundproof that room. Anyway, just didn't start watching it till 10. It's a 2-hour show. It was so good. Even flipping through commercials, you still end up watching for hours. I always cry. I'm such a wimp. I go to visit my 90-year-old godmother on Fridays, and she's always watching something like Ellen or those kind of talk showy things. And every time something good happens, like Ellen gives away money or someone's telling a story, I'm always sobbing. I'm such a marshmallow. So I was crying last night as I watched America's Got Talent, got very little sleep, and now apparently it's showing because I'm a babbling. Thank you for staying. Don't hang up. Don't go anywhere. I promise we're going to talk about good stuff. It's worth it. It's worth it. Stay with me. Let's jump into Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, Gary Zimak. And he starts this chapter, Let the Church Guide You, with one of my favorite scripture from 1 Timothy. Oh my goodness, that coffee needed to be 10 times bigger. 1 Timothy 3:14-15. I hope to come to you soon, St. Paul says to Timothy, but I am writing these instructions so that, if I am delayed, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar of the truth. Having a personal relationship, Gary writes, with Jesus is a very good thing. So good, in fact, that some want to run away with him to a deserted island. But this, quote unquote, just me and Jesus way of thinking can lead us away from the Lord if we're not careful. A close personal relationship with Jesus can only be fully experienced through the church. And as I was saying in the last segment, that is exactly what happened with my friends. Though they didn't leave a church, they left the church. They went to a beautiful church. It's a fellowship church, is wonderful. Like, I have never been to a church where after the service, I am addressed by so many people who recognize that I'm new there and want to know how I am, why I'm there, what brings me there. Do I need any help or assistance? We could really learn a lot from our Protestant brothers and sisters with that welcoming to people in our own church. I know that we have many more services, and it's hard to know if that person is new to our church or just new to that mass, or just there for the day because they have something to do later. But it still shouldn't keep us from introducing ourselves and saying hello. Hello, you don't come to this mass often. Do you, what brings you here today? Those are simple questions. Like, those are wonderful things that we can do to make people feel welcome, because you never know if it's that person's first and only time walking into a Catholic church. Like, I've gone to visit churches, Catholic churches, on vacation or because I can't make my own church mass times. And I felt so awkward, and I love the Catholic Church and I'm a part of the Catholic family, and I have felt awkward. I think how more important to make somebody who isn't part of this family yet, who hasn't yet embraced the Catholic Church, who's searching and just, the Holy Spirit brought them there that one day. What can we do to help them come back the next week and the week after that and the week after that? Let us be part of that solution that brings people back to the churches, that keeps people in church. One of the things that people go looking for in church is connectivity. They go looking for community. And to build that in your own church is huge. And you can be part of that. One of the reasons Kevin and I are offering the 33 Days to Morning Glory group at our church is that we wanted to create something of community, something that we could come together, read together, experience together, grow closer to our Blessed Mother, which of course brings us all the more closer to Jesus, and create community, fellowship, bringing people together. I'm not really good at social stuff. I love spiritual stuff, but I'm not always very comfortable at, you know, what candy bar bingo. I think it's a great idea, but it's not for me. I have trouble with potluck dinners. I am, believe it or not, for being such an extrovert person, those kind of social gatherings can kind of stress me out. And I don't really know why. I don't know why that is an anxiety creator for me. I'm trying very hard to overcome them, especially as Kevin goes through the diaconate program. We're called more and more into community with the other deacons in training, with other circumstances and situations and events. There's the word. Just keep saying words and eventually you get to the right one. There's a lot of things that create anxiety in us. And maybe that's one of your anxiety things for you, is to reach out and talk to a stranger, somebody you don't know. But to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you, to ask our Blessed Mother to be there, I guarantee the words will come to you and you will have a peace, and it'll be easier than you think. In this book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, Gary Zemek writes about Jesus' instrument. Fortunately for us, he writes, Jesus understands human nature very well. He knows that we have a tendency to become overly comfortable. He also recognizes that we tend to overlook our imperfections and sinfulness. In order to protect us from ourselves, Christ founded the Catholic Church. And through his church, we cannot only meet him personally, but make it to heaven. The church serves to connect all of mankind with God and with one another. From the Catechism of the Catholic Church, he quotes, the church's first purpose is to be the sacrament of the inner union of men with God, because men's communion with one another is rooted in that union with God. The church is also the sacrament of the unity of the human race. In her, this unity is already begun, since she gathers men, quote, from every tribe, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples of all tongues. At the same time, the church is the sign and instrument of the full realization of unity yet to come. And that's Catechism of the Catholic Church, 775, quoting Revelations 7:9. We are called together. We are called to be the body of Christ. Christ is the head. We are the body. It is the church he founded. If you follow it back, you know, through the apostolic tradition, you will go from Pope Francis all the way to Saint Peter, Pope Peter, the very first pope. So if you're able to follow the succession from Pope Francis all the way to Peter, straight line, Peter was given the church from Christ. So therefore, the Catholic Church is founded by Christ. I can't think of a better founder. There have been, it's human run, so it is fallible, but it's Christ given, and therefore it is infallible. Good stuff. I really love the Catholic Church. In all of its faiths and fallings, it's absolutely Christ's church. When we come back, we'll look more at Find a Real Friend in Jesus. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, right here on Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are taking a journey this week with Find a Real Friend in Jesus, 10 Amazingly Easy Steps, Gary Zemek from Servant Books, Franciscan Media. Speaking of Servant Books, they are being incredibly generous with an incredible giveaway. To find out more, go to a Seeking Heart with Alice and Jingris Facebook page or reconciletoyou.com and click on radio show. Three incredible prizes that you can win. And if you'd like extra entries, become a friend of the show. Go to breadboxmedia.com, click on a Seeking Heart and find out more about the becoming a premium member friend of the show of Where am I? I'm on Seeking Heart. Reconciled to You is my ministry, and I love to have you go there and check it out, reconciledtoyou.com. It's where I blog. It's where the giveaways are. It's where the events information is held. And my next event is August 13th. It is a free retreat morning, 8 to 12, at Holy Family, East Taunton, Massachusetts. Peace of Forgiveness. For more information, again, reconciledtoyou.com. Final thought on this chapter on Let the Church Guide You. Christ founded a church so that we wouldn't have to struggle to make it to heaven on our own. Instead of looking at church teaching as restrictive, we should view it as a gift. Through the teaching authority of the church, the Lord tells us what we need to do or avoid to become holy and get to heaven. My husband tells the story about going to heaven. Excuse me, in a book. I'll go in a book. He's going to go on a boat. And he looks at the Catholic Church as being the cruise ship with all the graces from the sacraments to help us get there a little easier. And of course, there's always work involved because we need to be submissive. We need to be obedient. We need to pray. We need to practice our faith by prayer, sacrament, and scripture, which Gary talks about in this book as well. Find a real friend in Jesus. He talks about prayer, sacrament, and scripture. And if you think about participating in those through the Catholic Church, you could think about taking a cruise ship to heaven. Now, those who are other faiths and denominations also have the promise of heaven. Jesus died for them. He redeemed them as well. And they can get there probably easier than me some days, because I sometimes feel like I'm on the very lowest level of that cruise ship, barely hanging on maybe just hanging off the side of that cruise ship by the tips of my fingernails, and they will get there. But he says, think of it if it's being in a rowboat. It's a little more difficult because of not relying on those graces available through the church, through the sacraments. Something to think about. The next chapter I wanted to look at was to talk to Jesus. And of course, that is prayer. This is the Catechism of the Catholic Church defines prayer with a quote from St. John Damascene. I think I'm saying that right. I'm sure I'm nowhere close, but it's beautiful. Listen to this. Prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, or the requesting of good things from God. That's Catechism 2559. The Catechism presents, Gary writes, several different ways to pray, all of which involve an encounter with the Lord. And of course, as I say all the time, I'll say it again, you can never have an encounter with Jesus Christ and be the same person again. Every time you encounter him in prayer, sacrament, or scripture, you are different. Even if it's just a minuscule change, every encounter with Christ makes us a different, better person. So let's look at the different ways to pray. We have blessing and adoration. Everything we have is a gift from God, Gary reminds us. Our very existence is due to his generosity. When we offer prayer of blessing, we are responding to God's gift. Another one is prayer of petition. I seem to be a little stuck on this one personally. I need to kind of move beyond this petition into prayer and adoration, thanksgiving, and intercession way more often, and praise. In this form of prayer, we recognize the fact that we are not self-sufficient. Sometimes forget that. We sometimes forget, Gary writes, to pray for our lesser needs, not just the biggies. I love some of the scripture verses that came to my mind when I read this in Gary's book, Find a Real Friend in Jesus, were the scriptures that tell us that he knows the number of hairs on our heads. That would be God, not Gary. we are to pray in all things, pray without ceasing. Again and again, the Lord tells us, turn to me, let me yoke yourself with me. Bring all your burdens. Yoke yourself. I make them light. We were reading 33 Days to Morning Glory last night, and in the first few chapters by Father Michael Gately, he talks about how when we turn to Mary in our needs, it's, and she brings them to Jesus, it's not like those crosses are removed from us, but they're made sweet and light. And I know that in my own petitionary prayer, I'm always asking God to remove the crosses. Take this away. I don't want it. I don't want to suffer. I don't want all of this. Please make it better. Fix it immediately. But we're reminded that those crosses are what helps us get to heaven. One of the people participating last night was my good friend Kelly, and she reminded us that of this picture. You've probably seen it on social media. Social media. There's no R there. Justin Boston in social media. It's a picture of a bunch of people walking towards a giant chasm, and they each have a cross on their back. And one of them, it's like a series of cartoon figures. And in one of them, there's one that keeps stopping and asking God to remove part of the cross, in which he does because he's a loving dad. And he keeps removing pieces of the cross. And then that person gets to the chasm and they go to lay down their cross, which is the way across. It is your bridge. It's your bridge across this chasm, this suffering, this difficulty. And as they lay their cross down, they see that it's not long enough, that everybody else is getting across the chasm because they have persevered in carrying this bigger cross. They have kept, you know, the cross that God gave them is their perfect sized cross. And it's their perfect sized cross for helping them through every difficulty, over every chasm, every suffering, every struggle. But when we keep asking God to remove it, we might find that we don't have the strength, the tools, the graces that we need when we get to the bigger chasm, that time where we need God more than anything. Of course, he will come and glue those pieces back onto us, onto our crosses through prayer, sacrifice, prayer, sacrament, and scripture. That grace will increase and abound, but maybe we'll have to sit there suffering longer through that than we actually had we been preparing our heart along the way. The end of last year, we went through a very difficult time losing my beloved father-in-law and really terrible financial struggles and personal problems with, my son's struggle and my other son losing his best friend through suicide. And there were so many crosses, you know, it was so heavy and I'd fall to my knees. And for once in my life, though, it was weird. The financial one I was probably asking God to take away, but in the most of my prayers were, Lord, just give me the strength I need. Be with me. Don't abandon me. Give me the grace. Help me through this difficult time. And I saw that the crosses were sweet and light. They were painful. I cried. It wasn't like I just tiptoed through them and sang a great song. I praised him through the storm, as Casting Crowns, beautiful song by Mark Hall, teaches us. Mark Hall. Yeah. I think that's right. I think that's his name. Casting Crowns, praise you through the storm. And I kept praising him and asking for that grace, but my petition wasn't take it away. My petition was help, you know, help others, the other ones going through this. But the sweet and light part came in the hindsight of looking how those around us were handling these same crises. And so how some of people were falling apart and really their crosses were much heavier than God probably intended them to be, because they weren't turning to him and letting him carry them along with us. We sometimes focus, Gary writes, so much on our own problems that we forget to pray for others. As I mentioned earlier, Gary writes, pay attention to the order of your intentions. If you're praying for all your needs first, you may be putting too much emphasis on yourself. This problem can easily be remedied by reversing the order of our prayers. Pray for others before praying for your own needs. Everyone is covered and you become more charitable. Isn't that beautiful? The other prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving and praise. It's kind of self-explanatory. We thank God for everything, for our life, and even for our sufferings. And to praise Him, I'm kind of struggling, still trying to figure out how to do that well. I find that music, the Psalms, or even just saying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. If it's good enough for the angels to praise God, it's certainly good enough for us. And the other one in here, I think that was all of them, right? Prayer of praise, thanksgiving, intercession, and petition and adoration. So there's five of them. So we praise God, we adore Him, we petition Him, but we put others' petitions before us. And again, for intercession, there's another thing that we should put before. There are so many ways to pray, but basically it doesn't really matter the formula. You go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church to learn about those five ways. But at the basic core of prayer is opening our hearts to listen to God, making a time that's quiet, making a time that's purposeful to spend time in communication with God. We get come back, we'll look at more of a friend, find a friend in the, yeah, we're going to look at this book. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
To A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking today about find a real friend in Jesus, 10 amazingly easy steps. Gary Zimek, servant, but I don't know why I say every time I say servant box. I just say into Alex, I don't think I've had a show that has been this much of a train wreck in a long time. So you get extra graces for sticking with me today, and I'm going to pray extra, extra for you. So let me know if you stayed with me today, and that if you've been praying for me to get my act together. And you can be assured of my extra prayers for you for being such a good trooper. And I'm so sorry, Gary, to be sharing your awesome book and to be such a train wreck. Just goes to show you, you know what? I'm so human. I hope that you recognize that you don't always have a perfect day at work either. Craziness. Well, the good thing about this stuff is that I always learn from my whatever it was that was wrong for today. Get more sleep next time. Eat breakfast before I go on air. I don't know. You're just such a good trooper for staying with me. Thank you. So we're going to look at the step four, which was listen, which is all about scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, another favorite of mine. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped in every work. And I happened to talk about scripture last night in the 33 days to morning glory group that I was leading. I think I was a little more on it than I was last night, I hope. The 33 days, we talk about being open and to receive God in our life. And the best way to do that is through listening to Him. And how do we listen to Him? How do we know how God sounds? We have to read scripture. Scripture is the inspired word of God. So if it's the word of God, it's His voice. It's how He sounds. It's how He communicates. It's how He talks to us. It's how we can understand Him, more importantly. And so some people read scripture and they think, oh, it's so hard. I don't understand. I get overwhelmed. There's these and the thous and the I don't understand what they're talking about. Okay, first of all, put aside the King James Version. Get out a New American Bible, NAB, or a New American Standard Bible, NASB. Even the New Living Translation. I have the Catholic edition of the New Living Translation, one of my favorites. It's written more in our language and it helps us understand. BibleGateway.com, one of my favorite apps, has different versions of the Bible so that you can click on these different versions and maybe just one word or two words is written differently. They're all inspired. They're all the truth. But sometimes maybe that word speaks more to your heart than another word. And I'm going to really hurt somebody in my house right now because if they slam one more door, hello, mommy's working. Sad part is it's not my little one. It's my bigger ones who should know better by now. Anyway. So instead of reading scripture as you would, Gary teaches us, he's going to talk a little, he gives a little lesson in here on Lectio Divina, kind of an important place to start, I suppose, if I'm going to talk about it, I should tell you what I'm going to talk about. Lectio Divina is just Latin for sacred reading. And this is a really great, interesting way to enter into reading scripture, especially if you're new to it and you're really not sure what to do. So there's reading scripture with commentary, how the church teaches it. And that's important. We need to do that. We need to know the official teaching of the scripture. But the thing that we're not taught, I don't think, enough as Catholics, and for me was life-changing, absolutely transformed my relationship with Christ, is that I'm able to read scripture from another point of view, from a personal point of view, this revelation that God has just for me in reading these words. He is speaking to my heart and he is looking to teach me something, reprove me on something, and encourage me. And we can do this in a very special way with this way of reading sacred scripture, sacred reading called Lectio Divina. And he breaks it into steps. First of all, we read it through and then we read it again and we ask ourselves, what does it say? Now, this is not from cover to cover we read it through. It can be a chapter, a verse, even just a sentence. Whatever is, I always invoke the Holy Spirit before I read scripture. Lord, what do you want me to know today? And then I open the scriptures either to a certain book that I'm interested in reading, or sometimes I just do what I call, Bible roulette. That's it. Bible roulette. I've been saying this forever. Anyway, I just pray and I say, Lord, guide me. And then I open the book, the Bible, to wherever, and I read that. So you read it through first, then you read it again and you ask yourself, what does it say? The first step in Lectio Divina is to simply read the passage and process the details. What is happening in this? Another way is to put yourself at different places. Like, am I watching say it's the scene between Jesus and Peter when Jesus comes back and he's kind of asking Peter three times, like, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And am I the one watching this happen? Am I one of the apostles sitting aside and looking? Am I just an observer? You know, am I just watching it like it's a movie? Like, watching it. Am I Jesus? Am I Peter? Like, who am I in this story? What am I taking away from this? What is happening? Then second, we look in, what does it say to me? Many people tend to treat the stories of the Bible as nothing more than history lessons, Gary writes. That is a mistake. The Lord speaks to us in the Bible. Our next step is to consider what he is saying personally to us. So here's what the Lord told me the last time I read this passage about Peter and the Lord, Jesus, Gary writes. Gary, I'm calling you to trust me with the uncertainties of your life. Even though you have many fears and concerns, I am with you. I won't promise that you'll never have problems, but I do promise that I'll always be with you. I'm not going to force you, however. The choice is yours to make. Do you trust me enough to get out of the boat and walk on the water? Okay, so I have the wrong passage. Sometimes reading fast is not always a positive thing. People are always like, oh, Allison, you read so fast. That's so cool. You're not always good. So this is actually the passage that he is doing his Lectio on here in Find a Real Friend in Jesus, through when Peter's in the boat, Jesus is walking on the water, and he calls Peter to him. The third thing we do is, what do I want to say to the Lord? After listening to the Lord speak to me through the passage, it's my turn to respond to God. Gary says, my response might sound something like, I want to trust you, Lord, but I am afraid. then we have this dialogue. So we've read the passage, we've seen what's happening, we've kind of processed the scene, we've spent some time discerning what God is trying to say to us, Jesus is trying to say to us. Then what do we say back to the Lord? And then we sit with him. That's that quiet part that I have such a hard time with, and why I love Eucharistic adoration, kind of that forced quiet time. Gary writes, it's now time to be silent and rest in the Lord's presence. Unlike what happens when I read an ordinary book, I just had a personal encounter with the author of the Bible. I need to reflect on what just happened. I need to spend time enjoying the security of his presence. There is an old comic strip that has a man sitting on a cloud in heaven with his wings and his halo. Oh, that makes me crazy. I don't think we get, you know, I know we don't get wings, because not even angels always have wings. They can take on any form. Anyway, won't go into an angel. You can listen to my whole week on Angels of God with Mike Aguilina to know more about my thoughts on angels. But the best part about this Far Side comic with the man on the cloud in heaven is he's kind of looking really bored, and the caption says, I should have brought a magazine. Now, this is exactly how I used to look at heaven. Like, it has to be the most boring place. All I'm going to do all day is worship God, because I had such a warped idea of mass, of liturgy, of worship. I had no clue what it meant to actually sit in the presence of Christ. Some of my most deepest, amazing moments on this earth have been those times spent in quiet contemplation with the Lord, with his word, with scripture. So you sit with it, you contemplate it, and then you live it. So you say, all right, God, we've had this time together and you've taught me this and we've had this great conversation, but now where do I go with this? What do you want me to do with this information as I go forward as your disciple and as your loving brother and son or daughter? When you read scripture daily, your life will change, Gary reminds us. I didn't believe it until I started putting it into practice. Give it a try and see what happens. I'm telling you, it will transform your life. If you need more information on how to do Lectio, or if you would like to know some passages that perhaps you could start with, ones that I know transformed my heart. I loved the Gospel of John, Romans, there's so many wonderful things. If you're new to the scriptures and you need some extra support, give me a call. You can call me at 573-4BREAD-4 on the next show, or you can send me a message at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. Don't forget to visit A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Facebook. Like me there, share, and enter this week's giveaway. It is such a mega giveaway, very generous, from Servant Books. Pope Francis Takes the Bus, two of Gary Zimek's wonderful books out from Servant Books, and the entire collection, 5 volumes of Chime Travelers by Lisa Hendy. You can do that also on reconciledtoyou.com. Click on Radio Show. Thanks for being with me today. I will be with you on Friday with Gary Zimek. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.